In today's gospel, Christ requires us to be as zealous for the kingdom as was the unjust steward for his own welfare. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do. When I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much money do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Right after the Second World War in Germany, there was a small businessman by the name of Neckermann. Neckermann owned a little dry goods store in a little neighborhood in one of the German cities. But Neckermann had this vision of having a whole string of stores. There was only one problem. He didn't have any capital. And he really didn't have much name recognition outside of his own little neighborhood. Now, in those days in Germany, you know, dry goods were scarce. So the big department stores, the ones who had chains of stores, whatever they had, they would sell at the biggest price they could. And those Germans who had money would pay anything to get these goods. Now, Neckermann, by chance, just by a stroke of good fortune, came into a whole shipment of thread. Thread. Now, thread was very valuable in Germany in those days because, again, people couldn't afford to buy clothes, so they were constantly sewing up their clothes, and thread was a prime commodity. So here's Neckermann with this big, big shipment of thread, and he gets this idea. He takes the thread off of the big, huge spools, and he puts them on little spools like we normally would buy thread. And he offers to sell these spools to the big department stores at a very small profit. They grab it up. They snatch it up, the big stores. And they start selling the spools of thread at a pretty good rate of profit for them. Well, after several months, these big department stores began to notice that Neckermann's little store was getting more and more people going there. People going there and buying all kinds of things. They couldn't figure out why. till all of a sudden somebody discovered something. Whenever anybody got to an end of one of those spools of thread that Neckerman had sold to the big stores, when they got to the end of that spool, there was a little note on the spool that said, "If you had bought this at Neckerman's, you would have saved 50%. Clever, huh? Maybe a little unethical, but clever. But see, that's the point of today's gospel. Sometimes this gospel bothers us because it sounds like Jesus is praising the dishonesty of this steward who's going to lose his job because already has been dishonest. He's going to lose the job, and he's trying to figure out what to do. So he lets his master's debtors write new promissory notes for half of what they normally owed. Then he makes friends with these people, and they'll welcome him into their homes. And we said that the master praised the steward. We have trouble with that. Why would God praise the dishonesty of this steward? But that's not what he's doing. He's not praising his dishonesty. What he's praising is his cleverness. What he's saying is, if you listen later on in the gospel, he says you have to be honest in little things and in big things. He's not praising dishonesty. What he's saying is, look at this steward. He's going to lose everything. He's clever, and he's willing to act on his cleverness. Then he asked the question, why are the children of light, that means you and me, why are the children of light less clever and put less effort into the things of the kingdom than this man does for his own welfare? That's the whole point of the story. The cleverness and the fact that this man was willing to act on his cleverness for his own welfare. What Jesus is saying is, you who are children of light should have that same cleverness and the same effort in the things of the kingdom. That's the point of the story, huh? He's not praising dishonesty. Reminds me of an example in my own family when I was growing up. When I was grown up, but my cousin was probably a sophomore in high school at the time. She had her eye on this young man. She had a big crush on this young man. He wasn't that interested in girls at this point, but she figured he would be. So she was going to make sure that when he really started looking for a girlfriend, he'd have her in mind. So this is what she did. For example, he was the halfback on the football team. So every Friday night, she'd be out there, standing out there in the wind and the cold, cheering her head off. Now, she didn't know a first down from first aid. But there she was every week. So he'd see her. And even better was this. She had her circle of friends. And the whole week, there'd be intrigue and whisperings and people whispering in each other's ears, trying to figure out where this young man was going to be on Saturday night. Friday night was football. Where was he going to be on Saturday night? Was he going to go to the dance? Was he going to go to the movie? Intrigue. Figure out where he was going to be. Then she'd be there too. Now think of the effort that all took, right? Think of the cleverness in putting all that together. But see, that's the point that Jesus is making today. We spend a lot of time, a lot of energy. We come up with all kinds of wonderful ideas for our own benefit, hopefully. Why aren't we just as clever and just as concerned and just as active when it comes to the things of the kingdom? We should be, he says, if we're children of light. Just a couple examples of that. Remember in the gospel when the disciples say to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And Jesus says to them, "When you pray, pray like this," and he gives them the Our Father. Now, you notice what he says, "when you pray." He doesn't say, "if you pray," he says, "when you pray." Because Jesus is convinced that if we understand who God is, understand we're totally dependent on God for everything, all the wonderful things he's given us, especially Christ himself, we're going to pray. We just can't help but pray in thanksgiving and praise and gratitude. We would just do that automatically. Now, the question for you and me is that true for us? We come here, hopefully every week, to pray in the most important prayer we can ever offer, joining Jesus on the cross and in his resurrection. But what about other times? Do we pray? Most of us know we should pray more. We have a hard time. We don't find the time for it, or we just don't. But here's the thing. One example. How many of us find ourselves alone in our car a lot? We're going to the mall, we're going shopping, we're going on a trip, we're going to work. There we are alone in the car driving someplace. What are we doing while we're in the car? We're probably listening to the radio, listening to some, you know, it's one of our music sticks or whatever, listening to music. Why couldn't we turn all that stuff off and pray while we're in the car? 15 minutes, 20 minutes, say a rosary, open up our hearts to God, just say, God, here's what's going on in my life, you know, I wish you'd help me with this, or I need this, or I thank you for all these good things. Why couldn't we do that? It's built in. It's built into our schedule. We don't even have to find extra time. It's built in. Can't we be clever enough and make the effort for the things of the kingdom? Or again, think about the Beatitudes. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Children of light, us, need to bring peace where there's enmity and anger. So if there's enmity and anger in your family, anywhere along the line, are you a peacemaker? You think about how you can make a situation better? You put the effort in to make the situation better? You can't find ways to try to resolve problems? Or again, another example. This more on our total social life we have together as a people. You know, we know that in America today, there are hundreds of thousands of people who go to bed hungry every night. Now, some of those people, it's their own fault. But a lot of those people are trying the best they can, and they just can't make it. They just can't. And they go to bed hungry, and their children go to bed hungry every single night. Now, put that fact side by side with something I read a couple of years ago. Out in the Midwest someplace, the dairy farmers had a glut of milk. Too much milk to put on the market. If they put it on the market, it was going to lower the price of milk to the point where they would lose money. So they had all this extra milk sitting in big tanks, vats, whatever. Well, what did they do with it? They couldn't sell it because you couldn't put it on the market. As I say, it would bring down the price of milk. What did they do with that milk? Ultimately, they flushed it down the drain. Now, I don't know much about price supports, agricultural price supports and all that. Don't pretend to understand all that. But, it seems to me we pay farmers not to grow things because we get too much of something. Why couldn't we pay them to grow things to bring to food banks? They don't have to go through supermarkets. They don't have to put it on the market. Pay them to grow things to feed people who won't ever go to a supermarket. Why can't we do that? We can't be clever enough to come up with ideas like that? Can't find ways to transport food like that? That's what Jesus is saying to us today. Children of the light spend as much time coming up with good ideas and spending the effort to do them as you do for your own benefit and other things. Let me conclude with a little story that maybe illustrates what I'm trying to say. There was a country called Duckland. Duckland was populated by ducks. Only ducks lived in Duckland. And every Sunday, the ducks would waddle into church and squat down in their benches. The duck preacher would come out and open up the duck Bible and read. And then he'd give a homily. And one Sunday, the duck preacher said to the ducks, "Do you ducks know that you have wings? Do you know that because you have wings, you could fly? You could fly just as high as an eagle. You ducks can fly. And the ducks there are amazed, and they said, "We can fly? Wait, we can fly. Amen. Hallelujah. We can fly. We've got wings. We can fly." At the end of the service, they all waddled out of the church and waddled home without trying to fly. Are we like that? We come here, we hear the message of the kingdom, we hear what God has done for us, what he asks us to do in return, and we say, "Amen, hallelujah." And we walk out, and we never spread our wings to fly for the kingdom. Let's pray today. We want to understand what Jesus is saying. Children of light, children of light. We use our ingenuity, we use our cleverness, we use our intelligence, and we spend the effort for the sake of the kingdom of God, as much as we do for our own welfare in other areas. If we do that, then we really are children of light. May God bless you.